The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Final hour of the program is live, and thanks for being a part of it. We told you hours ago about the continuing issues facing LSU. We learned today or yesterday that a number of LSU officials, which we thought would appear in front of this hearing in Baton Rouge, are now not going to. They're going to send statements. There's a lot of litigation going on, which could be one reason, probably a pretty good reason, why they're not going to show up. Glenn Gilbo has been covering this story from the beginning. We've talked to him about it a couple of different times. Glenn, thanks for the time. Great to have you back on the program. So where are we right now?
Well, I think the next step by this select Senate committee at the state capitol will be to subpoena LSU officials. One of the representatives involved with that committee told me for a story today that they're considering subpoenaing Orgeron, so they're likely to subpoena some others as that committee's work goes on, and there's other hearings in the future after tomorrow's hearing. So I think subpoenas will be the next step.
And that's fine. And I don't know what Coach O really has to say to this committee. Can you explain to maybe some of the audience that is late to the party what this is really all about?
Well, I think what this is about is that a lot of state lawmakers, a lot of people around LSU, and LSU's very much married to the state legislature. They get a lot of money from them. That they don't feel like LSU did enough, and they should have fired people after the Hush Blackwell report. They didn't do enough in disciplining people. They just suspended two associate athletic directors for a couple of weeks. They're already off suspension. They want people fired, particularly Virge Ausberry and Miriam Seeger and possibly others. I think that's what they're looking for.
Glenn, I think we all know most of this happened on Joe Oliva's watch, but Scott Woodward is now the athletic director, considered among the very best in the country. Has he said much, if anything, about this? And what do you think about where his position is right now?
Well, that's another reason why the committee wanted to call these people to the hearing, is because they haven't, none of them has said much at all. And Coach Orgeron keeps referring questions to what he already said. So they want to hear more, and they want to ask follow-up questions to the statements that Coach Orgeron has made in his letter, particularly concerning the Gloria Scott testimony at the hearing a couple weeks ago, the woman from the Superdome security that was harassed by Darius Geis. That's one reason. Scott Woodward has not said much about this at all. He was at a press conference after the Hush Blackwell report was released in early March. I think there's some disappointment in him as well for not firing people in light of this. You know, LSU's just kind of sticking together here. And even though Scott Woodward's a new athletic director, just got here in 2019, he's very much embedded with all these LSU people because he was here. He's from Baton Rouge. He knows everyone because LSU hasn't had a lot of personnel changes over the years. So it's all one big family, much like a mafia family, I would say.
Glenn, I think we'd all prefer asking you about LSU's football team, and we'll get to that at some point. But in just covering this and knowing it like you do, you've been down there, you've lived down there, you've covered this program for a long time. What do you think are the biggest concerns about where we are and where this could go?
Well, I think what LSU needs, where it needs to go, is LSU needs to change its systemic culture and think it's immune to any investigations. You know, that's how they're acting now among these investigations, and there's a bunch of them. That needs to change by the new president, by Scott Woodward, who I feel like he's been a disappointment as an athletic director. Now, what this committee can actually, this committee can't fire anybody. They can recommend the firing of people. They do have subpoena power, but there's not much they can do. You know, LSU has to look at itself and make those personnel decisions and make some culture changes to what they've been doing, because that's how all this came about, all these investigations from systemic issues of LSU officials looking the other way when there's sexual misconduct accusations going back for years.
Glenn, you mentioned Woodward, and I've been on record since day one, you know, praising LSU for the hire. I've always admired him greatly, both professionally and personally. But, and I'm not saying this is a defense of him, but now that we know much more about what happened with Joe Oliva and the powers that be, I mean, is Scott Woodward just playing this smartly right now, knowing that, you know, this may be the most political school when it comes to who exactly has a control of the curtains than any place in America?
Well, I was very complimentary to Scott Woodward when he got the job, too. I thought he was the perfect candidate because he has experience in politics. He has this experience as an athletic director and as a lobbyist in government. And that's why I'm disappointed. I thought he would do more. Yeah, he inherited a lot of issues from Joe Oliva, but he's in charge now. He's been in charge for 2 years now, and he hasn't really done anything, and he's kind of just letting it go on. You know, meanwhile, Will Wade's still the basketball coach. Virge Osbury and Miriam Singer are still working. I think if not Scott Woodward, somebody's got to take control of the university. They have an interim president right now, Thomas Galligan, who's trying to get the job, so he's not going to do anything until he gets the job. And he's probably not going to get the job now. So they need a new president to come in and roll some heads.
Glenn, I know this is not really germane to where the investigation is, but sometimes in any community, you know, what you hear on the street really does matter. So I ask you, as someone who hears from fans all the time of LSU, is there any concern by the fans, or are they just waiting for the football season to begin?
No, I think more so than usual bad news. I think a lot of LSU fans and a lot of LSU alumni are very upset by this. You know, a lot of people at the state capitol are LSU graduates, and they're embarrassed by this, I think. And frustrated. You haven't heard the usual fake news and, oh, this goes on at every other school. Alibis you hear from fan bases usually, because this definitely does not go on at all other schools, especially with the depth it has at LSU. So I think a lot of the fan base is embarrassed.
How are the Tigers going to be this year, Glenn?
Well, I think they'll be better than 5-5. They return a lot. They have a talented football team coming back, but you know, that's on the back burner right now.
Yeah, I tell you, Glenn, if they go 5-5, they'll be more than this select committee screaming about Ed Orgeron.
Exactly, and you know, Coach Orgeron, you know, he's not going to be fired for his role in covering up Darius Geis's issues, but that's going to be filed away. And it would be easier to fire him with those files if he has another average to bad season. But I don't think that's going to happen. He's got too much talent in the program. First, they just need to get the football season.
I agree. Glenn, thanks for coming on. I know this is a complicated issue, but it's front and center. So what else can we do other than find out more?
Right. LSU's never gone through anything like this in history, off the field and outside the arena. You know, it's unbelievable. Basketball investigation, football investigation, and outside of that, this Title IX investigation that keeps going on.
Be well. Thanks, Glenn. Come back soon.
Thank you.
Glenn Gilbo with a sobering report. from the Bayou. We will take a break. We'll get to your phone calls the rest of the way. We've had quite a show, Booger and so many other guests, and we are done. We're not done. We're done with Glenn. We may be done. We're coming right back regardless.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And we've got some softball on Sunday night in prime time. Two ranked teams, Georgia taking on Kentucky. And we welcome you back to the program on a late Wednesday afternoon. Let's get to calls. And Mitch is in South Carolina. Hello, Mitch.
Hello, Mr. Paul.
Good afternoon.
You told me to call back when I was in a better mood.
Well, I was worried about you yesterday, but I thought I might have to drive over to your house, but I'm glad you recovered.
I wish you would drive over, but you ain't got to check on me. I'm fine.
Okay.
I don't stay mired in the mud long. First off, I have to be somewhat boastful. LSU is proving my point over and over. El Scandalo University. Secondly, I hope Roy McIlroy wins this year. Now, the reason for the call. A couple weeks ago, people were calling in and suggesting potential guests. And, of course, I called in and suggested the greatest football player of all time. And you asked me what kind of questions I would ask him. And you probably gave me a D- on my question.
I did.
I don't know. You might give me an F.
No, I'm an easy grader.
But I have been thinking about it. First off, when I got to thinking about it, you don't see Peyton interviewed often. He's on the TV all the time, but he's never actually interviewed.
True.
But anyway, if you could ever get him on and let me ask him a question, what do you think of this question?
Okay.
If he had to pick one game out of his entire career, college, pro, whatever, the one game that he would use as a teaching tool for future quarterbacks?
Well, that's a great question. That is a good – I'm going to give you an A-plus on that.
I thought it was pretty good because I can't –
No,
it
is.
I mean – a lot of people probably say the Baltimore game, Denver against Baltimore, when he threw 7 touchdowns. But knowing him, he probably would have a more technical game that he's more proud of.
I will tell you this. I have interviewed him before, but you know who has interviewed me?
Who?
Peyton Manning.
Well, you both are very privileged.
It was very funny when I was in. I think it was the. I'm trying to remember. It was 97. His last year at Tennessee. Rick Carley and I did a Saturday night football show in Birmingham. Rick's been on here before, and we went into the locker room after they had beaten Alabama, and Peyton had led the band in Rocky Top, and I can't remember what the conversation was, and he said, Peyton said, "Yeah, I'll do the interview." He said, "Come think of it. Why don't I just interview you guys? I mean, it was something for fun. We were doing a bit for the opening of the show, so I think." We let Peyton do the opening, saying, "Hey, I'm Peyton Manning," and blah blah blah. And now my guests tonight are, and he turned to the two of us, which it was actually very funny. But I knew right then this guy, if he didn't make it in the NFL, he would have a good career in television. Well, he doesn't really need television since they've been trying to hire him for about 5 years.
But you two are two of the most privileged people in the world. To have had the chance to interview each other. That's just amazing. I would just like to maybe see one of his hairs just float my way.
I don't really know him well anymore. It's been a long time since I've seen him, but Peyton's moved on to a different status now. But
bigger pastures and greener pastures.
Yeah, I'm just a. He's left me behind here in the dust.
Well, I will gladly stay in the dust with you.
Well, thank you. I need a friend right now, Mitch. I'm glad.
I don't know how dependable I am, but
well,
I'll try.
Compared to some right now, I'd say you're pretty dependable. Hey, thanks. Appreciate it very much.
You too.
Great
Bye-bye.
To have you on. Let's check in with Greg, who is in Mississippi. Hey, Greg. Thanks. Good afternoon.
Yes, sir, Mr. Paul. How you doing?
We are doing great.
Well, I love Mr. Mitch there, but, you know, I hear him conversating there, and it kind of reminds me, you might remember the movie, the Zodiac there?
Oh, of course, yeah.
I love Mitch, and just wanted to kind of touch base with you, Mr. Paul. Tried to get in the other day, but I'm telling you, you were so busy. But you know what, Scott Woodward, the AD, and Mr. Mark Emmert, the NCAA president, have in common?
They've worked together many times.
Well, I think Mr. Scott is married to his daughter, right?
Yeah, you know, I was about to say that, but I paused. I mean, I've heard that. I've heard some variation of that, but I just don't know the answer. Woodward followed Emmert to Washington. They worked together at LSU, and I'll double check on that. You may be right.
Yes, sir. I just want to leave you. I've heard Cat Daddy. I love Cat Daddy call in. He leaves you a good one there every now and then. I wanted to tell you one, Mr. Paul, if I could.
Sure.
Yes, sir. There was a rancher slash barber there looking over his herd one afternoon and said, you know, it just wasn't multiplying everything, and he was going to the sale barn to get him a sure enough bull there, and went up the hill in his duly, and the three bulls over there on the side, they overheard him talking and said, the old first bull said, well, you know, I don't care who he gets. I got about 45 head out there. I better not even see him look in that direction. And those second bull stood up and poked his chest out and said, well, you know, I'm with you there, brother. There's about 30 out there. And that old number three bull there said, well, he's about 15 out there. Don't even like me, but I better not even see him looking in, you know, that direction there. Well, about 2 weeks rocked on, the old 18-wheeler come back and down the hill, the doggone trailer rapping back and forth, the dents being kicked in the side, Mr. Paul. It's about to come off the axle. They let down the chute, and this darn bull is longer than the trailer. Well, that first bull said, well, you know what? I've had a kind of change of heart there. Said, I'm going to help old boy out and show him around. No second bull said, you know, you're right there. It's only the right thing to do. About that time, that third bull jumped the fence, run up to that old big bull, and started snorting and kicking up dust and doing 360s in the air, and them two old bulls in the fence said, you fella, you better get back in here. Said, he'll kill you. He said, heck, I'm just making sure he knows I'm a bull.
That is pretty good.
But anyway, just want to leave you with that, Mr. Paul. We love y'all.
Well, thank you very much. It's fantastic.
Yes.
That's a great story. Let me check out Skip, who is in Greenville. Hey, Skip.
How you doing, Paul?
Great, Skip. Thanks for calling.
Opening day caller, full-time listener. I wanted to touch base with you about Frank Martin and what's going on in Columbia with him. Any updates?
I have not heard, no. It's a good question, though. Let me see if we can find that out.
They're going to bend him over a chair, Paul. Wait and see.
Well, I did not realize. Hey, thank you for the call. By the way, I think Woodward's, I think it's his son may be married to Emmert's daughter, something like that. Emmert is not married to his daughter, maybe his son or something like that, stepson maybe. Stepson. So we will take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285, and we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
To the program, and let's get back to the calls and check in with Joe, who is up next. Hey, Joe. Thanks. Good afternoon.
Paul?
Yeah.
This is you?
This is me. Thank you.
Okay. I'm going to tell you, I called last week about Greg Norman pulling his club before the Masters, and Leonard Thompson called in.
All
what
right.
A great player he was. He won three PGA events on the tour. Anybody who wins three PGA events got to be a great player. And I can understand him supporting him. The problem I got is I would love to send Greg, if Leonard called him and said, listen, I had somebody said you pull your clubs. I would love to see the face on Greg when he said that. So, anyway, that's what I'm calling in, just saying it's a true story. Nobody wants to investigate it, and I can understand it. It's an incredible story, but it's true. Dr. Joe Barlam made these shafts, and Greg took the shafts out.
Yeah, no, but listen, I heard your story, and I
believe in it.
Well, it's impossible to believe, yes.
No, it's not impossible. It's almost impossible.
Well,
the almost is the problem in there. It's almost impossible.
Well, yeah,
Greg's
it's a matter of semantics, I'm not even going to use the almost. I think it's beyond possible.
No, it's not. But that's the story. But talk to his family. If his family can verify it, that's the way
well,
it
I'll
is.
Tell you what, at some point, I've met Greg Norman, and at some point in my life, I will run into him again, and I will say, Greg, I've got to ask you this. This is just off the record now. And
exactly.
I'm going to say, my friend Joe.
Doctor. I'm a doctor, and I met him in my office, and his nephew is a patient of mine, too, and they told me this story, so that's all I can tell
Joe, hold on a second. You've added another layer to this. You said you're a doctor and you've met Greg in your office?
No, not Greg. I met John.
Oh, John.
I met him in my office. He was here visiting his sister.
What type of, if I may be so rude to ask, what type of a doctor are you?
family practice.
Okay. Well, that's certainly a great profession.
Exactly.
And you're in you're in North Alabama?
No, I'm in South Alabama.
South Alabama.
I'm where his nephew and sister live. His sister lived in Bruton.
Oh, Bruton. Okay. And, I know Bruton. Sure.
Yeah. Home of Walter Lewis.
You got it. You know who else was born in Bruton? I found Kevin Sumlin grew up in Bruton, where he was born in Bruton. I don't think he grew up there, but
I'm not sure. But
he told
anyway,
me that once.
I'm just wanting to let Greg know that we know what he's like. So that I'm not trying to hurt anybody, and I can understand his friends supporting him, and Leonard, like I said, Leonard Thompson, I pull for him forever. He won three tournaments.
Well, Joe, one thing I do admire about you, Doc, is you are not giving up on this story. So you keep at it.
No, I'm through with it now.
Oh, okay, you're done.
I just wanted the word to get out about him, and I'm through with it now. So.
Okay, well, go back to treating patients. I think they need your help more than Greg Norman does. I don't know if I believe the guy anymore the second or third time he's called than the first time. But anyway, that's just my opinion.
Good afternoon, Paul.
Good afternoon.
Hello. You know, I listen to your program, and I love this show. I've loved this show for a long time. And you know, as your show evolved, the social networking evolved. First with the little chat room, with the BRC or whatever. And then to Twitter and everywhere in the world. Every time I opened up any kind of social networking, it's all been so politicized, you almost feel dirty when you exit. Doesn't it feel dirty now?
What, social media?
Yeah, the whole political thing.
Oh, absolutely.
Everybody's got an opinion.
Yeah, no, I will acknowledge the importance of social media, but there are many aspects of it that absolutely disgust me.
And you know, Paul, when I'm quiet at home doing my thing in my den, I don't have a man cave. I still have a den. I tend to watch a lot of documentaries, science, history, channels, Smithsonian, those kind of things.
Wow.
I love all the space stuff. And I was watching a documentary last night on marijuana. Reckon what?
Why am I not surprised?
I think I'm going to watch all of I'm going to watch them all that way now. Have a good day.
And I ask the audience this, because I-Man has been a longtime caller, but sometimes you have a conversation with someone and you don't understand it completely, and I've been in many cities in this world where I don't speak the language. Whatever I-Man was speaking there, I did not quite understand that language. I understood marijuana, and then I nodded my head. Let's check out John, who is in Chattanooga. Hello, John.
Hey, Paul, how are you doing this afternoon?
I am well. Thank you for asking. Great to have you on.
It's an honor to talk to you. I've been listening to you for a long time, and just first-time caller. Share some things in common with you. I'm a big Vols fan, been a Vols fan for 57 years. Lived right off of Kingston Pike in Knoxville when I was a kid, and been following Vols since I was 65, or since 65. But I got a question for you. These players that are in the transfer portal,
yes,
are they not allowed to transfer until they are no longer enrolled in the school that they're at now?
I don't know if that's accurate or not. So you're saying if you're in the portal, you can no longer be enrolled. I don't think that's true.
I just had a question about it, because my question is, or my thought is, goes to Henry Tuatua, and my general thought is, I don't think this kid wants to transfer. I think his father wants him to transfer. My thinking is, he's a star at Tennessee. I mean, he is the defense at Tennessee. He runs the defense and can make a huge impact and could really, really stand out there. If he goes to Alabama, does he even start? And certainly, will he have the role there that he has at Tennessee now?
Well, I think the easy answer would be no, he wouldn't.
So, I mean, my thought process, and I'm just thinking,
I haven't followed it very close. What's the deal with the father?
The father's saying that they should have gone to Alabama in the first place.
Okay. You know, it's not my son, John, and it's not yours, but I'm a big, strong believer that 17-year-olds should seek guidance from their parents, but should make up their own mind. It's their choice. It's their future.
Yeah, I fully understand it. I mean, I certainly, my kids were not athletes, but I raised a couple of kids of my own, and certainly they needed my guidance at age. I was just kind of just kind of thinking out loud that maybe he really doesn't want to transfer, and I would love to see him back in Tennessee, of course, because I'm selfish that way, and I really just think he would stand out more there than he would.
Yeah, I'll see if we can find. I don't know the answer, but I'm glad you brought it up. It's an interesting proposition, but you're right. Let me check in with Phil, who is in Madison, Alabama, which of course is North Alabama. Hey, Phil, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. Good afternoon. You had a caller that earlier that asked about Major Ogilvy.
Right.
I was curious. Have you heard anything from Joey Jones from back Alabama mid '80s? I know he was at South Alabama for a minute, but what's Joey Jones doing now?
That is a good question. Joey Jones, for many, many years, was the coach at, was he at Mountain Brook High School? I can't remember. We used to have Joey on every week. He would call in on the way to the games. And then he became an assistant. At one point, he was the head coach at South Alabama. He's no longer, I really don't know what Joey is doing right now. But, I mean, he was very successful in high school coaching. I mean, he was a great high school. I just don't know. I really don't know. I'll see if I can find that out. I bet I can.
All right. Well, we appreciate it, Paul. And, hey, worldwide condolences to the family of our super fan, Luke Ratliff.
Right.
That really hurt us when he passed the other day.
That was terribly sad, and so many people have mentioned it. Hey, thank you, Phil. We are going to a break. When we come back, we're open for business. If you want to get in, this is your moment in time. We are going to take your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Lines are available, and we are coming back to them right now. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.